Howdy, partners. Welcome to Just the Discs. My name's Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. I am talking Westerns this week, which is something I've meant to do for a little while, as there have been a lot of Western Blu-ray releases that I've been meaning to talk about. This particular group is all from Kino, mostly Kino Lorber Studio Classic stuff here. I'm going to start off with a great one in Walter Hill's The Long Riders from 1980.
They were nine men. They were four families of brothers. They rode together from Missouri to Minnesota and from Texas to Tennessee. They were the most famous outlaw heroes of the West. They were known as the Long Riders. This is their story, and it's as close to the truth as legends can ever be.
Now, you don't give us no trouble, mister.
I want your sons, Mr. Samuel.
What do you want them for?
For robbing banks and trains, ma'am.
What do you think your chances are of bringing them in?
It's an amazingly stupid question.
Wait for them to come out!
People say they got one of the youngers.
People say they got the wrong younger.
You men did an excellent job of making heroes out of every one of those gentlemen.
I think I'll write me a book. Make myself even more famous than I am.
You ever been in love?
Excuse me, miss. I was wondering if you cared to dance.
I'd be delighted.
Coming back for you. We're gonna be meeting up real soon.
They got a real fat bank up there. Scouted it out myself. Northfield.
You open that safe, mister, you hear?
The Pinkerton told us he might be coming.
They're robbing the bank!
David, Keith, and Robert Carradine as Cole, Jim, and Bob Younger. James and Stacy Keach as Jesse and Frank James. Dennis and Randy Quaid as Clell and Ed Miller. Christopher and Nicholas Guest as the Ford brothers. The Long Riders.
And it says, brand new 4K restoration from the great Walter Hill. Jesse James and his gang of outlaws ride again in this extraordinary Western that pulsates with hard-driving action and an electrifying drama. Four sets of actor brothers, David Carradine, Keith Carradine, and Robert Carradine, James Keach and Stacy Keach, Randy Quaid and Dennis Quaid, Christopher Guest and Nicholas Guest, each depict real-life siblings in this emotionally charged portrayal of the Old West's legendary bandits. The notorious James Younger Gang is the most famous group of outlaws in the country, robbing banks, trains, and stagecoaches with a sense of daring that make them folk heroes throughout the land. But when the mighty Pinkerton Detective Agency swears to track them down, these criminals must face an awesome enemy that will stop at nothing to see them behind bars or dead. Only through the strength of their loyalty and blood ties can the outlaws hope to survive the brutal pursuits, unexpected betrayals, and blistering showdowns that mark the end of their dangerous ride.
Well, you keep me in mind. I can rob banks as good as them Millers or your brother Bob. Ain't nothing to it.
Think so?
Shh. What's to know about robbing a bank? You ride into town like thunder and cannonballs, guns blazing, scaring the Jesus out of every person in sight until they're frozen. Then you ride right in the bank without getting off your horse. You dynamite the safe and ride off with the loot, hooting and hollering the same damn way as you came in.
So this movie is so interesting and unique because of that casting business, you know. So you've got the Carradines, David, Keith, and Robert playing the Youngers. You've got James and Stacy Keach playing Jesse James and Frank James. Dennis Quaid and Randy Quaid play Ed Miller and Clell Miller. And Christopher Guest and Nicholas Guest play Charlie Ford and Bob Ford.
What's the trouble, friend?
No trouble. We're looking for the Youngers. Do you know them?
Sure I do. A lot of them around these parts. Big family. Who are you fellas?
Come here to buy cattle.
This ain't Texas.
What about the Youngers?
You're looking at two of them. You ain't here to buy cattle. Now, who are you fellas?
Goddamn Pinkertons!
If
Which younger are you?
Question is, who are you?
I told you. We're cattle buyers.
How dumb you think we are? You're Pinkerton men.
I'm Jim Younger. So here's my cousin John. You ain't looking for him. He don't ride with us.
Is that right?
And then there's some other supporting cast I forgot to mention, like Pamela Reed, James Remar, Harry Carey Jr., Edward Bunker, Lin Shaye shows up in the movie, Peter Jason. Yeah, it's just a killer cast. That's one of the things I've always loved about Walter Hill movies is that he casts, obviously, his main roles really well, but his supporting roles are filled with excellent character actors, a lot of which he would use over and over like any good director. But yeah, this movie's totally unique just for the casting, and it's a great Western. It's a story you've kind of seen a little before with these different gangs represented, but not like this. It's one of my favorite Walter Hill movies, and this new Blu-ray is fantastic. The special features include new interviews with stars Keith Carradine, Robert Carradine, Stacy Keach, James Keach, Randy Quaid, and Nicholas Guest, new interview with director Walter Hill, new interview with composer Rye Cooter, new interview with producer Tim Zinnemann, something called Outlaw Brothers, The Making of the Long Riders, and that's 61 minutes. The Northfield, Minnesota Raid, Anatomy of a Scene, 15 minutes. Slow Motion, Walter Hill on Sam Peckinpah, 6 minutes. Audio commentary by film historians Howard S. Berger, Steve Mitchell, and Nathaniel Thompson, 5.1 surround. Anyway, it's a really nice set. And one of my favorite Westerns from this period. And for Walter Hill fans, I feel like it's one maybe you haven't seen or that people don't talk about quite as much. So definitely pick this up. Absolutely. Next up, one from Peckinpah. It's Junior Bonner from 1972.
Dance with me? You do dance, don't you?
Out of line, Junior.
Not really.
I'll dance with you.
Hey, how about playing something a little bit slower?
One dance, Junior. We can't count much further.
Today I started loving you again. And I'm right back where I'm really.
Hey, JR, where'd you get the new doll?
Well, what you doing, Casey? That's a young filly I picked up down Cheyenne.
Just long enough to let my heartache mend.
Hey, you must not come in, JR.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, man, I kind of do. Nothing personal.
Yeah, well, I hope she treats you better than sunshine.
So do I, Red.
Oh, who's the sunshine in your life?
Just a bull, I'll be riding.
Screen icon Steve McQueen is at his rugged best in this totally captivating tale of a fading rodeo champion from acclaimed director Sam Peckinpah. With his bronco-busting career on its last legs, Junior Bonner McQueen heads to his hometown to try his luck in the annual rodeo. But his fond childhood memories are shattered when he finds his family torn apart by his greedy brother, Joe Don Baker, and hard-drinking father, Robert Preston.
I gotta go down on the road. What road? I mean, I'm working on my first million. You're still working on 8 seconds.
Now Junior must break the wildest bull in the West to bring his family together for one final moment of cowboy glory in the roughest, rowdiest ride of his life. Junior Bonner is an extraordinary, graceful, yet unflinching rendering of a slice of Americana, beautifully shot by the great Lucian Ballard and featuring a top-notch cast, which also includes Ida Lupino, Ben Johnson, Mary Murphy, Dub Taylor, and Bill McKinney. So yeah, this is a really interesting Peckinpah movie and one that definitely does not get talked about as much. Steve McQueen was obviously really good in The Getaway. It appears that Junior Bonner may have even come out before The Getaway. So that's interesting. I didn't realize that. For some reason, I always associated it as a post-Getaway movie. Anyway, it is a really neat end of the West kind of, yeah, I don't know. It's got that melancholy. It's got that vibe that Peckinpah can bring to a Western that makes it feel reflexive and yet totally of you know, the genre, but like commenting on the genre. I don't know. He was just able to do some really neat things. And I think it's a really neat role for Steve McQueen, and one that I actually like a lot in terms of his entire filmography. I think it's really solid. Anyway, it's a cool movie, and I'm glad that it's got the Blu-ray treatment, as Kino has given new life to several Peckinpah westerns. It has some nice special features. There's something called Passion and Poetry, and it has two parts. The first part's called Rodeo Time, and that's 56 minutes. And then Passion and Poetry, Peckinpah Anecdotes, and that's 26 minutes. Fascinating stuff. Audio commentary by Sam Peckinpah authors Paul Sador, Garner Simmons, and David Weddle, moderated by film historian Nick Redman. These guys are the Peckinpah gang. These guys do the commentaries on all of the Peckinpah releases, I think. Pretty much everyone that has any kind of commentary, these guys have done it, and they are incredibly into Peckinpah, first of all, but also just really knowledgeable about the subject and always provide a lot of great insights. So this is a good track. There's some trivia, something called Junior Bonner Remembered, and some radio spots and stuff. But it's a really solid disc. 2/3 5/1 transfer looks good. I just like that kind of, like I said, sort of end of the West kind of story. Those Westerns that have genre awareness, that are commenting and stuff. I just love that kind of thing. Next up, we've got one called Death Rides a Horse from 1967.
Death Rides a Horse. When you've waited 15 years to find a man, it's a shame you can only kill him once. The bandits who killed 5 defenseless people made one big mistake. They should have killed 6. Ever since he was a little boy, there was one thing he always wanted to do. Find 4 men and kill them.
Now this one, I don't know if I was aware of until Tarantino made me aware of it, either by showing it at one of his festivals or by virtue of the fact that he used one of the score tracks from this movie, and Ennio Morricone did the music, the wonderful music, the awesome music. Yeah, Tarantino used a track from this for one of his films. I'm forgetting which one right now.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you? For a second there? Yeah, I kind of did.
Silly rabbit.
But it's really solid, you know? It's a really solid, I don't know, just spaghetti western in that gritty style. And it's got Lee Van Cleef and John Philip Law.
You had to get here ahead of me, didn't you? Oh! Idiot.
Are you on your way in or out of that hole? You remind me of a groundhog who couldn't make up its mind.
And I love a lot of Lee Van Cleef spaghetti westerns. I've got one of the most famous ones to talk about in just a minute. So this one says, a bona fide spaghetti western classic. 15 years after 4 bandits massacred his family while executing a $200,000 robbery, a young man, John Philip Law, seeks revenge. The men responsible for the murders all hold positions of power power in the New West, but now a bandit, Lee Van Cleef, they had framed for the murders, is due to be released from prison. He's ready to exact bloody reprisals and decides to form an unholy alliance with the vengeance-seeking young man. This stylish revenge tale by Giolo Petroni and written by Luciano Vincenzioni, the mercenary, features a strong supporting cast that includes Mario Brega, Luigi Pistilli, and Anthony Dawson, with a haunting and rousing score by legendary maestro Ennio Morricone. So, this one has gotten some slightly shoddy transfers in the past. I feel like I picked up a DVD or two that I haven't been real pleased with, and this is certainly better than those. The other neat thing is it has an audio commentary by filmmaker Alex Cox, who is, of course, a director of Repo Man, Sid and Nancy, and Straight to Hell, his own spaghetti western takeoff. So he's always been a director that I like a lot in general, but I also like him as a cinephile. He's like one of those Joe Dante types, if you will, a guy that, you know, just knows a lot about movies, is a movie fanatic, and so I love to hear him talk about other films, like especially westerns, because I haven't heard him talk about that quite as much. So very cool track, very glad they got that from him. Good disc, Death Rides a Horse. Next up, another one in the spaghetti western camp called The Mercenary from 1968.
He sells death to the highest bidder. He'll sell your life for what he thinks it's worth. He is the mercenary. If you're not ready to buy, be ready to die. Aims for the money. His gun does the rest. Franco Nero, Tony Musante, Jack Palance, Giovanna Ralli. The mercenary, the sun at his back, a gun at his side, a town at his mercy.
And it says, he sells death to the highest bidder. Sergei the Polish Kowalski, Franco Nero, a mercenary who's only out for himself and a few dollars, joins up with a Mexican peasant turned revolutionary, Paco Roman, Tony Musante, to rob a silver mine in Texas. No longer content to toil for the rich and powerful, Roman plans to bring a new order to Mexico by force with his small ragtag gang. While Roman and Kowalski are outnumbered facing the Mexican army, they also have to contend with Curly, Jack Palance. I love that he's got the same name as City Slickers. A vengeful killer out for blood. Top-notch direction by Sergio Corbucci and a score by the great Ennio Morricone helped make The Mercenary one of the best spaghetti westerns ever made, co-starring the beautiful Giovanni Ralli. So Sergio Corbucci is one of those directors that I feel like fans of spaghetti westerns know his name pretty well, but outside of that, even cinephiles, I feel like don't quite know him as well as maybe they should. He did a lot of great westerns, or interesting westerns at the very least. Stuff like The Companeros, The Great Silence, Navajo Joe, Django. You know, he's definitely a big influence on Tarantino, for sure.
Yeah, the thing about Sergio Corbucci, up until a few years ago, for the most part, when people had to describe him, whether it be spaghetti western aficionados or director classifying tour critics, they would probably have described Sergio Corbucci as the second best director of spaghetti westerns after Sergio Leone. Now, while second Sergio after Leone is hardly an insult, I mean, if you think about, if one were to call, say, John Ford the best director of American Westerns, which I definitely do not think he is. But if you were to say he was, then who would be the second best director of American Western? Howard Hawks, Sam Peckinpah, Anthony Mann, Bud Bedecker, no disrespect. However, having said that, considering the fact that Sergio Corbucci made a spaghetti western, Massacre at Grand Canyon, 2 years before Leone, made Minnesota Clay in 1964 concurrently with Sergio Leone, was making Fistful of Dollars, it does seem a bit disrespectful. I feel that Sergio Corbucci is not just one of the great spaghetti western directors and one of the great Italian directors. I feel that Sergio Corbucci is one of the great western directors of all time. And also, before Peckinpah, he was the greatest director of action in the 60s who ever lived, cinema-wise.
And I think a really good filmmaker, one of the best Italian Western directors that there were, you know. Not Sergio Leone good, but very solid. And this is a really cool movie that I'd never seen before. And this cast, I just adored. I thought this was great. I love that Jack Palance, you know, did a run of spaghetti Westerns. I feel like he was in some other Corbucci Westerns even. Maybe Campaneros, I think? Yeah. Yeah, he's in the Campaneros too. But this is a really cool one. It does just what you want a spaghetti Western to do. And Franco Nero, obviously amazing. You know, the famed role as Django is one of his most, I don't know. I like that movie, but I kind of like seeing him in other Westerns too. And I think he's a great actor. He's a perfect presence for the Old West, the Italian Old West, as it were. This one also has a commentary by filmmaker Alex Cox, also great. So I love that. And the movie looks good. This is a 2.35:1 transfer. And yeah, I'd never seen it before, so I don't know how much better this looks, but I'm assuming better than previous releases. Next up, we got one of the big guns, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly from 1966.
The good, the bad, the ugly. The reason, the goal.
Now, this is a really cool release. It seems like something that, like, MGM themselves would have done, but thankfully Kino put it out because they definitely got some good extras for it, including three separate audio commentaries. I'll get to those in a second. Let me just read the back for those that don't know The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. For three men, the Civil War wasn't hell, it was practice. By far the most ambitious, unflinchingly graphic, and stylistically influential Western ever made, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a classic actioner shot through with a volatile mix of myth and realism. Screen legend Clint Eastwood returns as the man with no name, this time teaming with two gunslingers to pursue a cachet of $200,000 and letting no one, not even warring factions in a civil war, stand in their way. From sun-drenched panoramas to bold, hard close-ups, exceptional camera work captures the beauty and cruelty of the barren landscape and the hardened characters who stride unwaveringly through it. This 50th anniversary special edition includes the 4K restored versions of both the 162-minute original theatrical cut and the 179-minute extended cut. Hailed as pure cinema by Robert Rodriguez, and the best directed movie of all time by Quentin Tarantino.
You know, at the end of the day, I think the one artist that I think is the most influential to me as in my work has got to be Sergio Leone. That kind of half-assed operatic quality that he brought, and the way the music takes over and kind of set pieces, directing via set piece a lot of times. I think he is the filmmaker that you can spot the most in my work.
This epic masterpiece was directed by the great Sergio Leone and co-starred Lee Van Cleef as Angel Eyes and Eli Wallach in the role of Tuco. Music by legendary composer Ennio Morricone. So yeah, if you haven't seen Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, probably want to see it. Probably want to see Once Upon a Time in the West, and for a few dollars more, Fistful of Dollars, that whole thing. If you haven't done that, just go do it. And this new Good, the Bad, and the Ugly disc is fantastic. Like I said, three separate audio commentaries. You've got one by film historian Tim Lucas, noted cultural historian Sir Christopher Frayling, and film historian Richard Schickel. Now, the Tim Lucas is my favorite track. I like all these tracks, but I just love that they got Tim Lucas to do a Western. Tim Lucas is most known for his love of Mario Bava, Italian films, and has done a ton of horror commentaries on Bava stuff, and they're all great. He's just very organized and wall-to-wall with his tracks and has bits and details about actors and set designers and script writers and directors. I mean, he's just really, he does a good track, let's put it that way. And I just love that he took on this particular assignment and made this just the better for it. There's also something called Leone's West, the making of documentary.
A good movie director comes to a set early in the morning and walks the scenes through that he's going to do that day, himself, alone, so he can think and concentrate on it. Then once he's got it, he relaxes somewhat. You know, the day is from 9 to 5, and that's it. It's not like the old days. He was so concentrated on what he wanted. I mean, there wasn't a moment of film that he printed that wasn't exactly what he wanted. His pictures are wonderful.
Not a lot of coverage. He sometimes would do a shot three or four times because they were so paranoid in the early days, especially, not so much on The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because that was a co-United Artists production and a fairly large budget. But in the early days, they'd do a couple takes because they figured the lab would screw up the first two or three, or somebody would get scratched, or somebody would drop it. There was just all kind. It was a very, very haphazard crew.
Leone didn't do much directing. He knew what he wanted in his shot. He knew how to set it up. He had a wonderful cameraman named Tonino Della Colli, a little man who was brilliant with a camera.
In Italy, the photographers are great. It's atavistic, you know. It dates back centuries, the talent these people have. I mean, when the Italians went into high fashion designing, they took it over. They're incredibly talented. Any church you go into, in Naples, I mean, in Florence especially, or Rome, there's a masterpiece, a painting.
Hey, Pablo, don't you recognize me? It's me, Duco.
On the set, the actor spoke the language he knew. There's a scene with my brother.
I don't know the right thing.
He would watch my lips. When I stopped speaking, then he would talk.
What about our parents?
Solo adesso ti ricordi di loro.
And I understood enough Italian. He did it in Italian, or French, or German. Whatever language they spoke, they spoke. They didn't care if there were extraneous noises. Like you say, oh, the camera is making a little noise. They didn't care about that, just as long as the picture was clear.
You'd be doing a scene, and in your eye line off of the one side of the camera or another, you'd see a couple guys back there playing Frisbee or making motions or telling jokes, and you hear people talking, and it's very, very distracting. And I just kind of forged over it. It gave me a reason to concentrate that much more intently. They just weren't used to the quietness of a set where sound is a very important feature. I'd make up a lot of stuff anyway, and so would Eli. We'd just do the scenes and whatever the intent was. But you did have to keep track of it because you're going to loop it later.
The Leone Style featurette, Il Maestro, Ennio Morricone featurettes, The Man Who Lost the Civil War doc, Reconstruction of the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, deleted scenes, Sergio Leone trailers. So, yeah, this is a must-have. I'm assuming you've probably already picked this up, but I got it a while back, and I forgot to bring it up on the show, and I just felt like, just a reminder, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, still amazing, and this disc is awesome. Next up, I've got kind of a weird one. This is from just straight up Kino as part of their Mario Bava collection, coming off the Tim Lucas tangent there. It's called Roy Colt and Winchester Jack, and it's one of the rare westerns that Bava directed, and it's from 1970.
I found myself a job. I'm on the way to the bank to make a deposit.
Now, isn't that something? Why don't we divvy it up?
You kill the driver. Now, I've got to drive this damn thing myself. Well, Reverend, I know all about the gold. Your map is false.
Hey, don't you know that's Winchester's woman?
And so?
So you don't touch her. You get on my nerves, Roy Colt.
You might as well kill me, too. That may not be such a bad idea. Can't deny it's crossed my mind. Don't move.
No!
The The back says, an unlikely film from the maestro of European horror, Roy Cold and Winchester Jack is a ribald comedy that spoofs the newly minted conventions of the spaghetti western. Brett Halsey and Charles Southwood star as two brawling buddies in search of a cachet of gold dust. Along the way, they compete for the affection of a Native American woman, but join forces when confronted by a common enemy, a maniacal reverend turned gang leader.
You can't do that. The reverend will kill him.
The reverend is a brutal tyrant. He tortures his prisoners when he captures them.
So this is one that stands out a little bit in this group because it's definitely more silly and funny. But I thought it was amusing, you know, sort of a good-natured comic spaghetti western. And there were definitely some of these. I feel like Bud Spencer did some stuff like this. You know, it packs shootouts, fun, thrills, fighting, explosions, but it's got like a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing going on. The plot is pretty basic, you know, just these two outlaws kind of fighting over a treasure map. And yeah, the sort of Terrence Hill, Bud Spencer type, it feels like it's kind of going after what those guys did with their sort of comedy westerns, the Trinity movies and stuff like that. But it's interesting, you know. It's got style, as you would expect. It's not quite as stylish as I might have expected from a Bava Western, but it definitely feels like him to me. It's a new 2K restoration from the original 35 negative. It's got Italian dialogue with optional English subtitles, and of course an audio commentary by Tim Lucas, who wrote Mario Bava, All the Colors of the Dark, his gigantic Bava book. And that, to me, makes the disc that much better, because you get sort of context and insight from Tim Lucas, and it sort of all makes more sense through that lens in my mind. Bava definitely brings a sense of like surrealism to this in parts, so I guess that feels like, you know, real and true Bava to me, but it's definitely worth a look. And lastly on the stack, I've got one called Cannon for Cordoba, and that's from 1970.
Gentlemen, may I present our Mexican ally, Teniente Antonio Gutierrez.
He's pretty. He's kind of noisy, though. That's insolent. You're talking to an officer of Mexican Army.
There's no rank. We're all equals, except for me being a little more equal. Throw him out.
You need somebody who can isolate Cordoba. I can provide that somebody.
Who?
I know. Not unless I go along.
You're bluffing.
I don't trust you either. So I will arrange introduction inside Mexico.
When? Where?
In 2 days. In Madero, la Casa de Estranos.
We might stop by. You're a stubborn man, Lieutenant. Why?
Once I was proud of my regiment. It had honor. Now it no longer exists. Because General Hector Cordoba commanded it and betrayed it. I will have payment for that betrayal. Even if I have to use you.
And it says, a rousing, action-filled historical adventure. During the 1912 Mexican Revolution, Captain Rod Douglas, George Pappard, leads a small group of misfits into Mexican territory to destroy 6 cannons before rebel leader Hector Cordoba, Raf Valoni, and his bloodthirsty revolutionaries get their hands on them. Under direct orders from General John J. Pershing, John Russell, Douglas heads to a U.S. Army fort across the Texas border to face down Cordoba with the help of Mexican military officer Antonio Gabriel Tinti and the alluring and beautiful local Leonora Giovanna Raleigh. Paul Wencos, the Mephisto Wallace special delivery, directs this exciting western that features a rousing score by the great Elmer Bernstein and strong supporting cast that includes Pete Duell, Don Gordon, John Larch, and spaghetti western star Aldo Sambrell. So this one's interesting. Hadn't even really heard of it until this Blu-ray. And I do like George Pappard movies from this period in the late 60s. I guess, like most people, I got to know George Pappard through the A-Team, but it's fascinating to see his film career prior to that, that sort of led to and makes his role as Hannibal feel like it has some weight behind it. And I wasn't aware of it at the time, but when you watch his movies and then you go back and watch the A-Team, it's interesting. It just feels more lived in and more like, I don't know, like a real sort of outlaw type guy. And he's good in this, you know. He's I've seen him in a few westerns and a few procedurals, and he tends to do well in that environment. And I like the plot of this one. It's kind of like a guys on a mission movie as a western, you know. It's like Guns of the Navarone, as a Western. Six cannons that have to be taken out, you know? So, yeah, I mean, the direction isn't, like, mind-blowing, but it's fine, and the music is very good. I love Elmer Bernstein. He's actually one of my favorite composers, and so while I was going through these, it was sort of a nice change of pace to have him as opposed to Morricone. Not that I ever get tired of Morricone music. I never do. But just to hear a slightly different take on Western music was welcome, and I enjoyed it very much. This one has an audio commentary by film historians Howard S. Berger and Nathaniel Thompson, two of the Kino regulars. Always informed, always enjoyable tracks. 2-3-5-1 transfer looks good. And that is it for my first Western episode. I will definitely have another one in the near future because I have tons of Westerns to cover. And it is one of my favorite genres, so it's not something that will be left out in any way. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. And if you're not a Western fan, maybe one of these will entice you to give them a shot. Anyway, have a lovely and Blu-ray-filled week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.